I want to thank for the reading of the word and thank our choir and thank our handbell choir. Billy, did you have to change bells? Not much, because and she was over here changing all the time, and I was thinking, Billy's got it made. He only had to change twice. He had it made. This passage is interesting. I got to tell you, not everybody gets my crazy sense of humor. I was at a church, and we were hosting a Thanksgiving service on Sunday night, and one of the African-American preachers was preaching in our pulpit, and all we had to do was host it, which meant I didn't have to do anything. The women did all the food. And so I was sitting at the back as people came in. It was, Narthex was similar. You had two doors to come in, and I was sitting in the back, and everybody came in and said, which side are we supposed to sit on? I said, doesn't matter. And the next couple came in and said, which side are we supposed to sit on? I said, doesn't matter. Which side are we supposed to sit on? It doesn't matter. And I was getting tired of this, and about the sixth or seventh couple that came in said, which side are we supposed to come in? I said, depends if you're sheep or goats. And they failed to see the shimmer in that. They looked at me like, and we heard he was strange, but I said, well, you know, the goat's on the left, sheep on the right. And of course, then you have to figure out which perspective, from your perspective or my perspective, is left and right. So dynamic Christians serve the needy in the name of Christ. Dynamic Christians serve the needy in the name of Christ. Interesting passage. One of the things that I think is key to understanding this passage is both groups were surprised that they were in their group. The sheep said, when did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you naked, Lord, and clothe you? The goats asked the same question. When did we see you, Lord, hungry and not feed you? When did we see you naked and not clothed? Both groups were surprised. Now, the goats were really surprised that they were goats. But both groups were surprised. Now, I think that's important to understanding, because the sheep weren't people thinking, I am so good. Look at all I do for God. I am just wonderful. They were surprised they were sheep. Now, I think that's important because it shapes their attitude. And we're to shape our attitude as we help the needy. Now, some people not like the word needy, but I want you to look at all the ways Jesus talked about people being needy. Naked, he clothed them. Hungry, fed them. Thirsty, you gave them something to drink. A stranger, and you invited them in. In the hospital, sick, and you visited them. In prison, you went to see them. Folks, prisoners have never been popular. Okay? People have never really thought about a lot about people in prison. Okay? It's never been popular. It's interesting in our state, because a lot of the people that settled here came out of what? Debtor's prison. Now, how much sense did debtor's prison make? You owe me a lot of money. I'm going to throw you in prison. What's the odds of making money in prison? Not back then. I know they have people that use prison labor today, but back then, not. You weren't going to make any money in prison. How much sense did that make? Didn't make a lot of sense. Some of the things we do in prisoners, if you steal billions, you go to a country club federal prison. You steal $100, you're sent up to a tough prison. So some of the things we do that doesn't make sense. I've had the privilege of working on some Kairos ministries, which is, by the way, Emmaus behind prison walls. And it's interesting to see how knowing the love of Christ can change people's lives in prison. We had one guy that was saved through a Kairos walk 14 years earlier, and had served as a translator. He was Hispanic for 13 years in every Kairos walk they had in that prison. He was up for parole, and I was talking to my district superintendent because he wanted to become a minister, and we try to start Hispanic ministers, and I mentioned it to my district superintendent. He said, he can't be a minister. I said, why not? He said, he's been convicted of a serious crime. I went, So we don't have second chances in the church, huh? My district superintendent did not find that humorous. It wasn't Ronnie, by the way. Ronnie was one of my district superintendents. Virgil Lee was another one. Burns, I was so early in the system then, Burns didn't even know who I was. So, but it was quite interesting to me. He wasn't looking to be an elder. He was looking to be a local pastor. Prisoners have never been popular, but Jesus said, visit the prisons, visit the sick, care for them. Now, we're not another social worker organization. We do this in the name of Christ Jesus. There's a significant difference in what we do than social workers do. We do it with a different motivation. We do it hoping to meet their biggest need, that they find the love of God through Christ Jesus. I was part of a church then pastoring, and that church was involved in a lot of the ministries in the community, and one of them was a homeless shelter for men, and every quarter the youth went to feed in that homeless shelter on a Sunday night. But before they went, they packed sack lunches, because they not only fed them that night, they gave them a sack lunch for the next day because they were homeless. And there were a couple reasons we did that. One was to model for the youth the idea of service. Secondly, to understand how well off materially most of them were, because some of their biggest, you know, worries were that they had the latest, greatest iPhone versus people who were homeless that wondered about their next meal. So it was good for them. It was good for the sponsors. Some churches call them chaperones that went with them to model that. And we reminded them, the youth minister reminded them, that you did that in the name of Christ Jesus. You weren't just feeding them. You were hoping to help them find the love of God through Christ. We serve the needy in Christ's name. You have sponsored the food bank, and now it's community. You did the med bank. We have all kind of ministries that we look at ministering to people. One of them is you welcome a stranger. Every church I've ever pastored thought they were a friendly church. Not everyone was a friendly church. There's more to welcoming people than saying hello and giving them a bulletin. You make them feel accepted. And a large part of that's attitude. In fact, I've known people to say, hello, you're welcome, and make me feel, and I knew I was not welcome. You see, when we do it for the least of these, we're to be doing it as if we're doing it for Christ Jesus. And we don't do it with an attitude of, look how good I am. I'm helping you and you need it. We do it with an attitude of humility and grace. And in the name of Christ Jesus, we're not just doing social work. We're doing work, hopefully leading people to know the love of God through Christ Jesus. But just as dynamic Christians serve the needy in the name of Christ, dynamic Christians treat the needy with the compassion of Christ. Dynamic Christians treat the needy with the compassion of Christ. How we treat people is important as what we help people with. Both groups were surprised. The goats were like, when did we see you naked? If we'd seen you, Lord, we would have clothed you. But we didn't see you, Lord. We saw James, the preacher. Who would want to clothe him? Well, you probably would if you saw me naked. You want to clothe me in a hurry. But if we'd seen you, Lord, we would have helped you. If we'd seen you as a stranger, Lord, we'd invited you in. But Jesus is saying, see every stranger as if it were me. See every hungry person as if it were me. See every needy person, whether it's emotional needs, physical needs, visiting the sick, visiting the prisoners. I've been a part of churches that had a good prison ministry. I've been in several prisons. I've been in several jails visiting church members. It's always interesting. I don't like the sound of those doors closing behind me. I can't imagine being there for years. I didn't like an hour-long visit. I didn't like a three-day visit. And I knew I was getting out. Jesus said, I was hungry and you fed me. And they said, when, Lord? I was a part of a church in Texas, a huge church. In fact, I don't know, they had multiple morning services. They were probably the traditional service. They had two. They probably had 4,000 in the two services. And they were a downtown church in the city. You didn't meet on Sunday nights. You met on Wednesday nights. Had a huge ministry on Wednesday nights. But they had a lot of homeless surrounding them, so they had ministries to the homeless, and they had a coat drive. You know, everybody, you would either buy a new coat, and they'd give you the sizes, or you'd give money to buy a new coat for children and adults. And they had a neat little way of doing it. The parents would register ahead of time, and they got sort of like a voucher when they went in, and they'd have a basket, and they'd have all these coats. And it was like a store. And they went in there, and the kids would try stuff on, and they'd get this one and get that one, and they'd go. And when you went to check out, they'd check them out, and they'd give them the voucher that they had for and make sure they got all the stuff they were supposed to get. And the kids just thought mama or daddy or both of them went shopping for them, and they bought clothes. Why did the church do it that way? As my daddy would say, was you help people in need, but you let them maintain their dignity. There's no shame involved. I think that's the compassion Christ has. And we're to treat the needy, whether it be physical needs, material needs, they're sick, they're in prison. Church also had a counseling ministry where you had a sliding scale depending on your income. You could offer counseling for people. Why did they do that? Because I think they practiced the compassion of Christ. Think with me, this is Christ the King Sunday. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of the universe. And yet he came down from glory, was born. We're about to celebrate the Advent season. His coming, he's laid in a manger as an infant, grew up in a poor household. He was a carpenter long before there were nail guns. Carpentry is still hard work, but back then it was particularly demanding physically. He helped raise his other siblings. Then he went off into his ministry, recruited fishermen and other working people. The apostles. Then he died on a cross, was resurrected from the dead, and before he left, he says, I'm coming back. And that's what the celebration of Christ the King is. He's a king and he's coming back. And the scripture we have today is he's coming back and seated on his glorious throne, and no one's going to miss it. Because he's coming back as a triumphant king. And we're supposed to practice his compassion when we help the needy. The kind of compassion that leads the Lord of the universe to leave heaven and come down and be laid in a manger. It's still hard for me, and I walk with the Lord along most of my life. And it's still hard for me to fathom that kind of compassion, that you leave the riches of heaven and come down and are born and laid in a manger. And then you died on the cross for the creation. The Creator died for the creation. What remarkable compassion God has. And we're to mimic that kind of compassion. We're to have that kind of compassion as we lead others to know the love of Christ Jesus. whether it's by feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, or visiting the prisoner, or visiting the sick. We're to demonstrate that kind of compassion, or we're welcoming the stranger. Now, we mess it up. But the neat thing with God is you not only get a second chance, you get a third chance and a 3 millionth chance. And nobody's keeping score, it's probably except for some of those church members. And don't worry about them anyway. You know I know. Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Whenever you did it to one of my brethren, even the least of these. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of serving others in the way that you served us. May we have your compassion in all that we do as the church. May we be your church and your people and showing grace to others. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.